You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh, give me your best, and let's hope that some of the features you saw at the fest come out on general release very, very soon.
Well, I think the film tally at the moment is 34 features and 23 shorts that I've done so far.
Well done.
But I've come out a bit like Craig Mottram. I went out hard the first week and I've faded in the second. So
that's kind of normal, isn't it?
I'm going to be limping across the finish line come Sunday night. Let's talk some of the great films that I've seen over the past 2 weeks. One of the most stunning films, not just of the festival, but for me of 2012, is the film Amour by Michael Haneke, Austrian-German director. This won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival this year. It's just a truly remarkable film. It's quite simply about this octogenarian couple. The wife has a stroke and the husband has to look after her in her steadily declining health. And it's just unbelievable. The performances are so real. The lead actress is Emanuelle Riva, who I didn't pick at the time, but was the actress from a 1959 film, Hiroshima Mon Amour, which is a stunning film. The thing that struck me about this film is the way the camera just holds. There's not a lot of cutting, there's not a lot of editing, and the performances are left to speak for themselves. And it's just devastating watching this decline. I'm kind of almost tearing up again thinking about it. I bawled my the whole way through this, and it was pretty much inconsolable leaving this film. And it was actually a joy because it was one of the few films of the festival so far that hasn't been interrupted by iPods, iPhones, noisy eating, people talking.
So it had everyone gripped.
There was sniffles throughout the whole thing. That was about as noisy as it got. This will definitely get a release given it won at Cannes, and it sold out both sessions here in really quick time.
Okay, that's Amour. Actually, look, if you've got... I'd love you to nominate your greatest weepy, 1300 222 774. Mind you, I found that as I age, I sometimes cry with the Telstra commercials. But still, if you, we've all had that moment in films. I think Schindler's List would have to be the top of one of mine for almost being unbearable to watch. If you've got a great tearjerker, 1300 222 774. That's called Amour, as in A-M-O-R-E?
A-M-O-U-R.
Oh, sorry. Okay, love. A-M-O-U-R. Yeah, surely. Look, it's a Cannes winner. Surely that will come out. What else?
Well, on this theme of aging, there's been a couple of films that have riffed on this in this year's festival. The second one's a Hong Kong film.
Are they
film.
Making all these films because the world's population is getting older?
Maybe the directors are aging, and yeah, maybe. These directors who do the first festival circuit are becoming older. And
We've got a text here directly addressed to Josh. I've taken a couple of your recommendations, Josh, for MIF, and seen some awesome films I never would have thought of. Amour broke my heart too. So there you go. You've got some like-minded listeners.
I got a tick. That's good. Well, I hope you see this one, or I hope this one gets a release. I don't think it has a distribution as yet, but it's also done well at festivals around the world. This is called A Simple Life. This is a Hong Kong film from director Anne Hui. It stars Andy Lau, who's quite a well-known Hong Kong actor. And he plays a film producer on the Hong Kong circuit. And his housekeeper, his aging housekeeper, who's been with the family for 60 plus years, also has a stroke. And he sort of puts her in a home, and they sort of find this extra bond that they sort of didn't really know they had. And the film is really about sort of aged welfare in Hong Kong. And there's a quite a not so subtle critique, but it's quite nicely done, of the way we treat the elderly, particularly within the context of Hong Kong society. Mm. And again, stunning performances, remarkable, heartbreaking, but there's a bit more beauty in this film. There's a bit more light. There's sort of the light touches that you don't really get with the Michael Haneke film. But again, just a wonderful film, and similar response from the audience. Everyone seemed to walk out being quite moved.
A Simple Life.
A Simple Life, yeah. Okay.
And look, I know trends, fashion's hard to pick. Are there more films like that, sort of cinema verite of the last stages of a life? Or, I mean, I'm presuming people have made films like that in the past. Do you see it happening as a trend or not?
Well, yeah, potentially. I mean, I'm not sure when I see trends, whether it's just that I'm seeing them or they're actually there. I mean, you know, I've probably seen, there's 330 plus films at the festival, and I probably will have ended up seeing about 10 or 12% of those. So, you know, it's a trend for what I'm seeing, but maybe not a broad trend.
Sure. Lachlan's called in from Kilsyth with a bit of a tearjerker. Hi, Lachlan.
Hi. It's a bit of a snobby one, but it probably doesn't affect anybody else except for me, but It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, right? Roberto Benigni?
No.
Oh, no, sorry. That's a Beautiful Life.
No, it's a Wonderful Life. It's Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. I know you're allowed to cry with Jimmy Stewart. Absolutely. Anna's called in from Camberwell. Hi there, Anna.
Hi, Raph. I went and saw Brokeback Mountain And I just fell apart. I was holding myself together, but it was a cinema mainly full of really old people. I was a bit embarrassed about crying, but then the man sitting next to me started really sobbing loudly. He was using his T-shirt to wipe his eyes. I thought, well, if he could cry, I can too.
Oh, beautiful, Anna. Look, thank you for calling. I've got to admit, I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain. Yes, life is beautiful. I've never laughed and cried at the same time before. That's a text from Bob. And Raph, not just a weepy movie, more like a lying on the floor sobbing movie. A French film called Irreversible. That's from Tim in Coburg. Haven't seen it.
You gasper, no. This was got notoriety for the extended rape scene, which is just utterly horrific, starring Monica Bellucci. But it's an incredible film, but not for the faint of heart.
Not a date movie.
No.
Irreversible. Okay. Someone, Toy Story 3, cried through the third act, tearing up now, Loz on the road. Have to admit, I remember watching Toy Story and feeling incredibly guilty with the first one about the neglect of the toys. And you think about all the toys you've never been back to. But anyway, look, keep your calls and your texts coming through. Other things that you saw at MIFF, had the privilege in your marathon of viewing, that might be coming our way?
This is a little bit more lighthearted. This is an English film called Wild Bill, and it's the directorial debut from Dexter Fletcher, who most people might know from Press Gang, that old TV series way back, and he also has appeared in things like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. This is one of those sort of social class dramas that the Brits just do so well. The premise of the film is a father who gets out of jail after 8 years, comes back to the commission housing flat to find his family, and finds his two teenage sons have been abandoned by the mother.
Right.
And the older, the 15-year-old's basically looking after the 11-year-old, 10-year-old. And he, you know, he's sort of immediately haunted by the dealers and so on that sort of put him away. You know, it's an incredible film, not just at the level of that sort of father returns social drama and the way it plays out class, but quite cleverly in the backdrop of almost all these scenes is the Olympic stadiums being built and all this construction. So we had this contrast between the gloss and the glam of, you know, London 2012 and what's really going on in the outskirts of London. Really kind of clever social class critique, bittersweet ending, but the performances from an A-list cast are really great. And I think Dexter Fletcher's found his calling as a director, not just as an actor. This was a really great film.
Laced with that sort of Mike Lee humour as well, humour in the face of adversity sort of thing.
Absolutely. There's some real wit in the script as well and the performances.
Okay. James has called in from Richmond. Hi there, James.
Oh, Raph, yes. My tearjerker was the West Wing TV series, the episode where CJ Craig's her Secret Service agent gets shot.
I am feeling your pain, James. Wept like a baby.
That came from nowhere, that scene. Came from nowhere. And then I finished with Jeff Buckley, Hallelujah.
Absolutely, yes. Now, one of the great moments in TV history, James. I think you've got some crying companions around the city. Thank you for calling in. Someone texted in, Richmond versus Carlton, 1982. Still makes me cry. There you go.
I have the same feeling over the 1999 preliminary final, just to drop that in.
I can't get over it. The one Carlton premiership I went to, I expected to feel ecstasy and I didn't. I only felt relief. I wanted it to be an ecstatic moment and it wasn't. Still, let's leave football out of this. You're nearly at the end of your marathon. Sorry, the name of the last British film?
It's Wild Bill.
Wild Bill. So yep. Wild Bill might be coming our way. And anything else that might come?
Look, there's one that I'm not sure if this will get a release. It'll probably get a DVD release at some point. It's a French animation called Le Tableau, the painting. A beautiful film. It's that sort of 2D style of animation, and it's this idea of the characters with inside a painting in their own kind of world, and they're waiting for the painter to come back and finish it.
Right.
Because he hasn't finished all the people, there's this class structure broken out between the characters who are fully painted, the characters who are half painted, and those who are just the rough sketches.
Beautiful idea.
So we get this, you know, the upper class, middle class, and lower class. And we also get this religious kind of subtext about the painter might return, like one day he's going to come back and finish us. And, really clever, but played for kids and for adults. It's got that lovely dual layer that, you know, the best, I think, animations have. Really fun, smart, short and punchy, sort of 75, 76 minutes. I hope it gets a release. It seemed to do very well at the sessions that it played at the festival. So fingers crossed for that one.
That's Le Tableau.
Le Tableau.